In the name of the God whose mercy is profound, whose kindness is forever, is it possible to accommodate gays and lesbians as a legitimate part of the Muslim society? There are some Muslims, more particularly living in the Western world, who have recently presented their arguments to show that they can live as good Muslims even if they are gays or lesbians. A part of their argument is religious, and a part of it is intellectual. Their religious argument is based on their understanding that the only reason why homosexuals are condemned in Islam is because of the fact that it is mentioned in the Quran in a number of passages that the nation of Lot got destroyed by God Almighty's punishment because they were homosexuals. They contend that the truth of the matter is that the Quran mentions that they were not just homosexuals, they were rapists and would force others to indulge in the vice which caused their act to be condemnable in the eyes of God. So for example, they present verse 78 of Surah 11, Surah Hud, wherein they mention that it says that the people of the time of Lot came to him and yuhrauna ilay, they came running, which is itself giving an understanding that they were desperate and they were forcing others to get involved in something that was not an acceptable way of doing things otherwise, which were legitimate. The other argument that they present is that we now know through more scientific progress in the area of medicine that there are people, both men and women, who are by birth naturally inclined towards their own gender and have no interest whatsoever in the other. Now, if that is a reality, they say, then how is it possible that God's religion, which is based on human nature, could ever disallow something which is natural to some people? The fact of the matter is that the Quran is not just condemning homosexual attitude. It is condemning a crime called obscenity. And the Quran says in a number of passages, for example, in verse 33 of chapter 7, that tell them, my Lord has prohibited, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشْ مَا زَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Tell them that my Lord has prohibited all kinds of obscenity, whether it is hidden or it's manifest. Everything that is obscene is prohibited. Whatever is done in this domain beyond the legitimate relationship of marriage is obscene. Whether a man is indulged with a woman, whether a man with a man, or a woman with a woman, there is only one legitimate way that one can be inclined towards to satisfy his desire, and that is in the legitimate relationship of husband and wife. Now, because it is not possible for a man to get married to another man or a woman to get married to another woman, therefore this relationship is not acceptable. The Sharia of the Almighty, the law of God, and the natural understanding all incline us to the understanding that there is only one legitimate relationship, which in the scheme of things of the Almighty causes human race to proliferate, to continue to exist and survive. That's the natural way that the Almighty has chosen. Anything that is resorted to, which is other than this legitimate relationship, is what is obscene and clearly prohibited by the Almighty in His Sharia, and most certainly in human nature as well. The argument of the destruction of the nation of Lot, quite apart from the fact that the verse or the verses referred to are not actually talking about the fact that they were indulged in raping, but the fact that they were so strongly inclined towards that crime that they became impatient when a few visitors visited Lot and they wanted to give vent to their passion by involving them as well. The fact of the matter is that the nation of Lot was destroyed not just because they were involved in the crime of homosexuality. They were the ones who rejected and denied the message of the legitimate messenger of God, Lot, Lut alayhis salam. The message got rejected, and moreover, they were also involved in this crime. Like, for example, the nation of Shu'aib was involved in the crime of committing frauds in trade. But that was not the only reason why they were destroyed. The destruction of the nations that were annihilated by the Almighty were primarily because of the reason that they rejected the message of the Almighty that came through to them through God's messengers who delivered the message most convincingly. So the argument that a certain nation was destroyed because of their homosexual instincts, and that too was primarily because of them engaging in rapes, is not something that the Quran mentions itself. It's something that has been derived in the recent times. Now, there's no denying the fact that there are some people who have their own nature inclined unnaturally towards people belonging to their own gender. It's a disease, and this disease needs to be cured. The existence of a disease does not justify that the person who is suffering from it should also be allowed to go for it, even if what he is asking for is otherwise illegitimate. There are people who lose their senses and are inclined to killing others. Of course, we are not going to allow killing because of the reason that there's somebody who has a problem in his mind or is mentally ill. Likewise, there could be men who could be inclined towards women and vice versa, which inclines them, pushes them to get involved in obscene acts with partners other than their wives or husbands. Now, if somebody has gone so desperate because of the so-called disease that he has or she has in herself, himself, would we allow the crime to still be allowed to be done simply because of that weakness, simply because of that strong inclination? Not at all. What is wrong morally is wrong. It needs to be stopped. It needs to be curbed. If there are people who are suffering from diseases which are causing them to be inclined to do things which are illegitimate, well, we need to cure such patients and prevent them from coming close to doing what is otherwise unacceptable and illegitimate. So we will sympathize with such people. We will help them to overcome this problem. But we would most certainly defend the principle that what is obscene, and therefore it cannot be allowed, it cannot be promoted, and in no way it can ever be declared as legitimate. All that we need to do is to help such people understand and realize that what they are inclined to do is not acceptable to the Almighty. We hope that if there are some people who, despite their best efforts, at times are indulged, they get indulged in something which is wrong because of their illness or the weakness in their personality to be able to work against their instincts, God Almighty is going to be forgiving. But of course, it is the duty of everyone who knows what the moral law requires him or her to do to make sure that all such instincts, all such inclinations which are inclining them towards doing things which are immoral, whether in the domain of physical relationship or whether in other matters. The weakness needs to be curbed and overcome, but the moral principles should be required to stay intact. And of course, we have no right to tamper with the Almighty's Sharia and the Almighty's book, which is very clear and unmistakable in declaring that all forms of extramarital sex are prohibited, and all good human beings, all good believers, are expected to lead a chaste life. May the Almighty enable us to understand His expectations from us properly. May He enable us to follow them to the best of our abilities.